Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, June 25th, 2015. And this says, before the first cup of jewels here on UCY.TV, happy Thursday, everybody. It is 70 degrees and overcast here in upstate New York. Looks like it's going to be a pretty decent day. Some nasty storms on the horizon, but hey, at least we don't get the tornadoes that they've been getting all over the place. I saw that a couple nights ago, this pretty wicked storm was coming through from the west toward the northeast, and a couple of our listeners experienced tornadoes in Michigan, which doesn't happen too often, so I hope everybody made it there without too much damage. Well, I'm not really sure where to continue today. I've been kind of ill here the last few days, and I'm sure everybody knows how they feel when they're super stuffy with upper respiratory ailments. Your brain doesn't work too well, number one. I feel like I'm in this mental haze right now. So, I don't know. We'll look at a couple things, but don't blame me if I'm slow. The mouth and the brain don't bounce around as well when they want to just go lay down and go to sleep. Yesterday, we titled the show America's Logic is Broken. We had JJ on and took a look at some of what is going on with the whole Confederate flag, twisted, crazy, all of a sudden the Confederate flag is now making you a terrorist and we're going to ban it everywhere, knee-jerk reaction, bleeding liberals, oh my God, I'm professionally offended. And then the CIA agent, we play this video clip how they're equating white supremacy, which, you know, they're saying that the flag stands, and I don't want to get into any of this. I'm just so tired of all the stupid fucking shit we shouldn't even be paying attention to. But they equate then this flag and white supremacy through this broken logic to being exactly like ISIS. So, of course, domestic terrorism everywhere. Terrorists under every bed, around every corner, and look out, because if your neighbor has a Confederate flag license plate holder, he may be a terrorist, and he might have one of those pesky firearms. Make sure you call 1-800-BLOWING-YOUR-NEIGHBOR and get your Walmart gift card for a reward. It will be anonymous. Don't worry about it. Nothing really pissed me off this morning to talk about, to be honest. And I honestly don't even remember what we talked about Friday. It seems like eons ago, but, I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that I posted this morning, but none of it really floats my boat. This whole, fast track thing, I thought it got passed on Tuesday. I already was hearing that it was through the Senate and waiting for Obama to ink it, but apparently mainstream is saying, no, it didn't happen until last night. So whatever, we knew it was going to happen. It's now waiting for Obama to ink it. I have people who seem to have a clue who are now telling me that they think this is a good thing. I'm like, are you on crack? This is not a good thing. This is like the last nail in the coffin. I found a clip this morning from, let me see if I can add myself, from PBS NewsHour, where I usually like this host. She's been around forever. I don't even know the woman's name, but the way they were talking about this kind of made me roll my eyes. Hold on. Let me see if this works. Wow, what on earth is that noise in the background? All right, let's see if we can find this to at least give you an update. So Obama's fast-track authority came to pass. Gee, who would have thunk it? It means basically that Congress is not going to have any option to amend anything that comes across through these trade deals. They'll just be able to vote yes or no. So hopefully they're not all thinking with their pocketbooks into how much freaking money they're going to make with copyright protections for pharmaceutical companies to not be able to sell generic drugs to third world countries. So here, we'll just play this and check it out.
After weeks of negotiation, the Senate voted today to approve one of the president's top priorities, permission to pave a speedy path toward an international trade deal. The fast-tracked Trade Promotion Authority would require the full text of any trade deal to be made public. It would give Congress up to 90 days to vote it up or down, and it would ban Congress from amending the trade deal.
I'm all muted here and I'm talking. All right. Anyway, I stopped for a second to go back to what she said. Full text of any trade deal must be published. Gee, you think? You know, one of the things that my friend who had been against it, who now just comes out of the blue and goes, you know what? I think this is a good thing for America. I'm like, how? The fact that it's considered classified, okay? And any of these people that were voting on any of these trade deals, and there's multiples. TPP is not the only one. There's TPP, TPIP, and then some other European African thing that got tagged on to the end of this. And I thought there was a fourth one as well. There was a fourth one, but who remembers the acronym? And who even knows what it's for? Because I don't. But here's the thing. We have these deals that are all considered classified, so nobody can read them. So how can you, in your right mind, and I don't care. I mean, maybe in some alternate universe, this is a good thing. This isn't going to suck out the middle class that's left here in the United States. But how could you determine that without reading anything? And that's what I don't get. Nobody's read jack shit. So how can you turn around and tell me that this is a good thing on your limited knowledge of what's been released? Okay, so there's been a few WikiLeaks, and anything that I've seen from WikiLeaks on the TPP is not good in any way, shape, or form.
The trade deal. It was a big turnaround on Capitol Hill and a big victory for the president. Political director Lisa Desjardins joins me now to explain how it happened. This is literally the phoenix rising from the ashes.
Imagine that. The phoenix rising from the ashes. While nobody was paying attention, it got run out of the House last Thursday. Last Thursday actually it got approved. I think it was Tuesday. It was like voted down, and then whoops, we had a shooting in South Carolina. Whoops, oh my God, all of a sudden now there's a national discussion about how racist the Confederate flag is. Everybody pay attention over here as we wave our stars and stripes. Oh my God, it's white supremacists, and white supremacists are just like ISIS according to the CIA. And whoopsie, what happens while we're not paying attention? It just phoenixes from the ashes, makes it through the House and the Senate, even though all these people were against it, and it's a done deal. How incredible is that? That's just, I should have played the lotto.
Exactly right. What a turnaround from last week when all of this blew up in the House. Now the Senate took it on, and here's what happened, Gwen. Change in strategy. Last week, those who supported this idea put together something Republicans like, which is this fast-track trade authority, with something Democrats like, which is assistance to workers who lose their job. Coupled those...
Yes, I heard that on the news when this was first going through. They're going to provide millions of Americans who lose their jobs retraining. Well, don't you feel fucking special? I know I do. Because here's the thing. What are we in? We're in 2015. Well, aren't they saying, and I was going to pull some clips and I never did this morning, but we've heard so many of them. They've been saying over and over again, robots are going to take all of our jobs by 2025. So we only got 10 years to worry about. So don't think that too much retraining is going to happen. But yes, they are going to retrain you and me as we lose all of our jobs on how to clean toilets at McDonald's before the toilet cleaning robot shows up on the scene.
Together. Well, Democrats realized there was a flaw there. They voted against the one part that they were expected to vote for, and the whole thing crumbled. Now, do over, and instead the people who support this, including the president, have taken those two issues separately, and today's vote was on fast-track authority only. It had the votes last week. It had just a couple votes less this week, but it has made final passage.
And this time they linked it to something else that members wanted.
That's right. What they've done here is they've added to that second piece, which they've separated, the worker assistance. They've placed that inside a bill for an African trade deal.
Now, I don't get what on earth this is about. Worker assistance inside a bill for an African trade deal. What? You know, and very interestingly, we're talking about, I didn't even know there was some African trade deal that was on the table. But actually, I think there was, because if you remember during the whole quote unquote Ebola epidemic, we had all these African nation leaders, I'm sure Lady Pitbull will remember this, show up in the U.S. to have meetings with Obama. And I'm like, why the hell are these guys showing up here when they have this mass Ebola epidemic going on, but they're sitting here negotiating trade deals? What? And what? But here's something that's really key to all of this. Remember, the pharmaceutical industry gains huge in these international trade deals because of additional copyright protection that blocks generic drugs from being produced for third world nations and low income. So pay attention to that ball right there.
It is very popular with guess who? The Black Caucus Democrats in the House. They're not.
And we just made them all happy because guess what? They banned sales for this Confederate flag because they tied everything to racism. Did you see all the spray painted Black Lives Matter that were all over South Carolina Confederate monuments? And I saw yesterday at the University of Texas. Now, look, you guys know me. I'm all for one and one for all. But this is a complete and utter fucking psyop from top to bottom, trying to rip open old scabs and make people emotional over everything. And now we just appeased everyone because, look, we made the Black Caucus happy.
I'm going to vote against that. And they also added to it one other thing, some provisions that the steel industry likes, something that helps them in international competition.
Yes, the steel industry, and this is what I was telling my friend yesterday who just flip-flopped and tried to tell me, and we got into a pretty hot argument over it, that this TPP, oh yeah, well, you know what, I changed my mind, it's a good thing. I was like, wait a second, NAFTA sucked out all the manufacturing from the Northeast, and trust me, because I lived through it, okay? All my friends' dads lost their jobs. New York State, Detroit, all up around the Great Lakes was car manufacturing and steel manufacturing. Pennsylvania, you know, it's all gone, all of it. Once NAFTA happened, all that manufacturing started to filter down toward Mexico, and the steel industry went belly up. Bethlehem Steel, gone. You know, looking Cleveland, too, all the manufacturing is gone. And who's doing the majority of steel manufacturing now, if I'm not mistaken, is freaking China. So, hey, did you hear that, though? We just sweetened the deal for the steel industry. And this is like round two now of international trade deals. Well, hey, guess what? NAFTA, we sold you out. Well, TPP, we're going to try and get you back in the door.
And that's another group of Democrats that cannot vote against that. And so Democrat strategy last week, no longer in play because there's two more sweeteners in the pot that they support.
So let's be clear for viewers. Yeah. What passed the Senate today was the Trade Promotion Authority, this fast-track deal. But what still has to now pass the House is this assistance program you're talking about.
That's
and
right.
We saw Nancy Pelosi today basically change her mind and bring along her leadership to support the president, finally.
That's right. Just to pull back.
Now, that's odd as well, like Nancy Pelosi hopping behind Obama. And I mean, I've seen her try to say nice things or try to play nice, and she always looks like she's choking out words. So how weird is that? I mean, that she just, like, jumped behind this thing? There had to be some pot sweetening that happened behind the scenes that we don't know about.
A little bit for those who've been watching today, the Senate passed both Trade Promotion Authority and this assistance program separately. The first one had already passed the House, goes to the president, fast track. But the other one, you're right, that's the assistance program. That goes back to the House, and you're right, the big story is Nancy Pelosi. Last week, she took a stand against it, trying to bring down the whole bundle of things. Now her office tells me because they're separated, she wants to help these workers, and she did, in fact, say she's supporting this when it gets to the House, a vote we expect tomorrow.
So,
and I mean, are these... From what I haven't seen anything in any of these clips that really explain what this quote unquote helping the workers is, but what I had heard over the weekend when we were watching the news is that this is a retraining bill to help displaced American workers. And I'm telling you, what are they going to retrain people for? What are they going to retrain people for? Any last manufacturing that's gone, what, are they going to teach them to be programmers or security professionals or McDonald's toilet cleaners? I mean, I just don't understand. And any manufacturing jobs that are out there are still pretty well-paying jobs. I mean, I'm sure that wages have come down considerably with the recession and the quote-unquote depression. But they're still decent jobs. Most of them probably still have benefits. Any of these jobs that they're going to retrain them for, this isn't going to be anything that you're going to be able to walk into with 20 years experience. Guess what? You're starting from the bottom, Mr. Smith, with 30, 25 years, 5 years to retirement. You're starting as a newbie all over again in a new career. How? It just makes me sick.
This is all, we talk about fast track, this is all of a sudden moving along very quickly.
It is. It's almost in a blink of the eye in the last 2 days. This has completely turned around. And for those who are very nervous about the ultimate end game here, which is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that giant trade deal with much of the Pacific Rim, they're worried that what this fast track bill will do is it kind of makes that TPP deal or Trans-Pacific Partnership much more likely. But Gwen, that's not all that's at stake. Also coming down the pike, a big trade deal with Europe. I talked to one senator yesterday. He said, put those together, the Pacific deal, the European deal, 60% of the world's GDP. And it was fascinating. He said to me, Gwen, this could be the last big trade deals in a generation.
Yeah, the last big trade deal in a generation, because as we're stitching together all these international trade deals, guess what? We're also stitching together international laws. We're also stitching together international rule. This will be the last big trade deal in a generation, because what comes next? The full-blown New World Order sticking their fingers down your throat and getting to places they shouldn't be.
There's always presidential politics involved in a lot of these things, but there was one particular vote that turned around yesterday, today, which I found interesting. That's Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, who as recently as last week was saying this is a great deal for America, this trade deal. But now, not so much.
Voted for it. In fact, wrote an op-ed in favor of this fast-track deal, and then this week voted against it. He said the reason why is the circumstances have changed. I'm not sure all the circumstances have changed, but certainly his analysis of it has. He says he looked at it again and believes that this fast track power gives the president too much authority. He also said he wanted to vote against the way that House Republicans were trying to basically beat Republicans into voting yes. I don't know. It seems like maybe the politics have changed here as well.
The politics.
See, and those comments really kind of, those were one of those moments where I raised an eyebrow, because all of a sudden we have Nancy Pelosi jumping on board. This is a great thing. We have Ted Cruz, who was all for it and wrote an op-ed. Now he's like, nah, not so much. I don't like this anymore. Something happened that we don't know about. And it'll be very interesting if we ever find out what actually happened for this to go through. But like she said, it was the phoenix rising from the ashes. What a miracle. Oh, my God. What a great thing for America. And that was the end of that clip. But that really pissed me off this morning. I mean, if there was anything, I'm not sure if there's really any way that we're going to be able to fight this now. I mean, I don't know if there's anything we can do. They can vote yes or no. That's it. But remember, there's these international copyright laws that are going to come down the pike with this as well. I did not post the stories, but I think we might talk about them tomorrow. From February and March, I ran across two stories about Mega Upload, Kim.com out of New Zealand, and some of the things that happened to him after the fact, how the U.S. took all of his money and he's now a fugitive, I guess. They're trying to extradite him. And how the programmer that programmed the Mega Upload website actually came to the United States, did a plea deal, and he's now going to jail for creating a website, guys. And when that first happened, I was like, how the hell is the United States going after a website that's headquartered out of Auckland, New Zealand, and imposing our copyright laws? I mean, copyright laws are not international in a way where you can cross country borders and go after somebody. But these new trade laws are going to make that absolutely 100% possible. We've also, and you know what, I'm going to have to look into some more stuff because we've talked about this, but there are all kinds of clamping down on the internet that's coming. Remember, we talked about the new truth algorithm that's coming that's going to rate your website based upon the quote unquote truth that Google search engine finds on your site when they compare it against their knowledge base. And the more truth, quote unquote, homogenized, approved truth that you have on your website, the higher up in the search engines your website and your information becomes. But hey, you know what? I don't think we're going to have to worry about that, because in the middle of all this crazy, and remember, there's conspiracy theories everywhere. Don't worry about it. Fukushima doesn't mean anything. All the crazy shit happened in the atmosphere and these crazy storms and stuff, which honestly, I was talking to my dad this weekend. I was like, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I've been a weather junkie my whole life. He knows that. We used to sit out and watch wicked thunderstorms blowing off of Lake Erie when I was a kid. I was always watching the storms. I've paid attention to weather for a very long time. And I got to tell you, since 2011, the spring of 2011 is when things started to really get like off the hook crazy. Not only did we start seeing, there was like the biggest outbreak ever of tornadoes across the whole Midwest back in the spring of 2011. And I was taking these screenshots. I mean, there was like hundreds in an evening of these tornadoes. I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this. But we also started having all the mass animal deaths. Do you remember the freaking birds all dropping out of the sky and then fish washing up all over on beaches? And I mean, it's just escalated to the nth degree now. But this has just been in the last 4 years all of this has happened. I am going to say, I mean, for as much as they can all come out and say it's climate change, this is just an orchestrated bunch of bullshit to push Agenda 21, new carbon laws, trying to crack down on everybody and move you into cities and conserve any of the wilderness that's out there because, you know, the world is dying. And now aren't they coming out? Yes, yes, yes. Guess what? Scientists are now saying that the next great mass extinction, this is number 6 in the history of planet Earth. What on earth is that? The 6th great extinction in the history of planet Earth is upon us.
Dinosaurs. Pretty cool creatures, right? And of course, extinct due to what's known as the KT extinction, during which 75% of the plant and animal life on Earth died off over a short period of time. Scientists generally believe that this occurred when Earth collided with a meteor. But while the KT extinction is the most recent mass extinction, despite occurring over 60 million years ago, there were 4 other similar periods of massive die-offs over the course of Earth's 4.5 billion year history. And now scientists are warning we have entered a 6th period. A study published in the journal Science Advances claims that mammals, birds, reptiles, and even fish are dying out at rates more than 100 times faster than normal, meaning that extinctions that would usually take thousands of years to occur now take little more than a decade. So, which creatures are threatened? There's, of course, the intriguing case of the white rhino, where there is only one male left on the entire planet. He is protected 24 hours, 7 days a week by armed guards in Kenya.
But I thought she was going to say, instead of the white rhino, the white male, because they're going for extinction too.
But that's just the most infamous case of near extinction. According to the Red List put out by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, detailing the world's most threatened species, lions are one of the nearly 23,000 species at risk of extinction. People may not have noticed when the eastern cougar went extinct nearly 70 years ago, which was confirmed this week, but what will the world do without Simba? The scientists, led by researchers at Stanford and UC Berkeley, wrote, "Avoiding a true 6th mass extinction will require rapid, greatly intensified efforts to conserve already threatened species and to alleviate pressures on their populations, notably habitat loss, overexploitation for economic gain, and climate change."
Ding, 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 ding. I mean, this, all of this is happening conveniently all at the very same time. And that's what I'm saying. It, you know, I'm not all about jumping all over crazy theories that I see. I mean, there's some pretty nutty freaking people on YouTube that come up with all this crazy shit. But I'm telling you, the dots are all connecting. It's orchestrated. How else to make people afraid and to bring them under the umbrella of global protection of all? Well, make the whole fucking environment go off the edge. Make the food scarce. Make the water scarce. Didn't we just see on Friday, NASA came out and said, hey, guess what? The world's running out of water. Bet you didn't know that. I mean, this is just absolutely ludicrous. And actually, maybe tomorrow we'll take a look at it, because I had asked the question, how the hell is the world running out of water when it's two freaking hydrogens and an oxygen jammed together? And here we're doing genomics where we're splicing and dicing at a nano level. Yeah, we can't create water like basic chemistry in a lab. I find that hard to believe. Well, I was absolutely right, because they've been doing it for quite a number of years and they're looking at putting water all over the moon. All right, let's listen to the rest of this, and I want to look at a few other things. So how conveniently, we are now in the great sixth great extinction, mammals included. But while this is all going on, we have good old Billy Gates talking about how carbon numbers have to go to zero, and our population is just overblown, and we're not going to be able to support that many people on the planet because our resources now, oh, lo and behold, they weren't 4 years ago too scarce, but guess what? They are now.
However, the window of opportunity is rapidly closing. And while humans may be too selfish to care about even majestic big cats and the countless of other species threatened by a wipeout, in a world so dependent on a diverse biosphere and so interconnected, the loss of biodiversity will deal a tremendous blow to agriculture and water resources.
To agriculture, and that's another thing. So, hey, guess what? All the bees are dying. Well, don't worry about it, because Monsanto bought the company that was trying to figure out what was going on with the bees, and we got Harvard working on their robo-bees that'll be able to do pollination with these little micro unmanned aerial vehicles. And, you know, if you need them too, they can do surveillance too, but don't worry about that. So don't worry about it, because we have genetically modified everything synthetic bullshit that'll be able to adjust, because Mother Nature just couldn't cut it, man. And we'll be able to control everything.
Meaning that if nothing's done, an inevitable domino effect could mean humans will one day be the ones threatened.
Unless, of course, you take the chip and become a transhuman man machine hybrid.
From Washington, this is Anya Parampil, RT.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs.
So there you go. I mean, it's just so clear in my eyes exactly what is going on right now. I mean, how did this just all hit the fan all at the same time? It's just amazing how incredibly orchestrated it seems. And like I said, I should play the freaking lottery, because what are the chances? So on the 19th, so this is about a week ago, a story then comes out with this really awful picture. I'm going to have to hold on 1 second in chat. I'm just going to have to share this photo as... Yeah, Jane, I'm going to read that story. I'm going to share this photo for the headline, but take a look at this one. Bill Gates is now working on a single-dose, long-lasting contraceptive for women. Yes, long-lasting. No more remembering to have to take the pill every day. Well, hey, stupid humans, you can't even remember to brush your teeth in the morning. We're going to fix you having to remember to take that contraceptive as well. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has made headlines after providing a $5 million grant to help researchers at Oregon Health and Science University create a long-lasting form of birth control that, hey, does not require surgery. According to the foundation's grant announcement, the funding will be used to, quote, develop additional safe, acceptable, and accessible methods of permanent or very long-acting contraception that will fill an unmet need for women who have reached their desired family size and do not wish to become pregnant again. How wonderful that Mr. Bill Gates came up with a way to create permanent sterilization. Wow, I just, thank you, Mr. Bill Gates. It is pretty, this is the story, it is pretty awesome news for women who have had as many children as they want and either have to take a pill every day, use condoms, or regularly rotate hormonal implants until they hit menopause or convince their partner to get a vasectomy. But the grant has been met with criticism from pro-life organizations because of concerns that such long-term forms of contraceptives could be used to control who does and who does not reproduce. Ding, da, da, ding, ding, ding. There you go. And especially coming out of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and we know what their whole modus operandi is, I would say that that would be more likely the plan. Not looking out for you or me who already has our kids and in our late 40s who don't want any more screaming memes. I mean, that isn't for us. This is to convince the 16 to 38-year-old women that they want to take permanent birth control. So, hey, guess what? When you hit 40 and you're like, holy shit, I never reproduce, I probably should have a kid because who am I going to leave my dirt pile of empire to? And then you're going to find out it's too freaking late because you've been permanently sterilized. And not like this hasn't already been going on. We found out that a lot of the vaccines have been causing permanent sterilization as well. We had girls. I saw this one story about a girl out of the UK after getting that Gardasil vaccine. And we did a whole show on all the Gardasil horribleness and then this new Gardasil 9 and whatever. If you didn't hear that, go back. It's in my YouTube playlist for Before the First Cup and the UCY YouTube channel. But Gardasil caused this girl to go into menopause at like 18 years old or something. Don't think that that isn't happening in other places. And this is all part of the agenda. They say that we are useless eaters and we are overpopulated. And it's all our fault that we're in the boat that we're in. Not the mega corporations that have been just wantonly dumping shit and utilizing resources like there's no tomorrow. We got Nestle still pumping water out of California, even though there's a big drought and the world's running out of water. But hey, that doesn't matter because it's all in the name of making money. Jeffrey Jensen, a gynecologist who leads contraceptive research at Oregon Health and Science University in the U.S., refutes this claim. He says, my goal is very simple, to make every pregnancy planned and highly desired, he told Elizabeth Hayes from the Portland Business Journal, citing a study that found half of all Ugandan women no longer want to become pregnant, but only 2% have access to permanent contraception. So, of course, they're going to use it on the African women first. How interesting that we just passed this African trade agreement as well, and the pharmaceutical companies are in the middle of all of this. I don't know if they're in the African one, but we know that they're in the TPP, and I can't imagine that they didn't include the whole biopharma medical complex in this. Okay, they got major, major, major money in all this game. Says Janssen is currently testing whether an FDA-approved foam that is used to treat varicose veins could also work as a long-lasting contraceptive. And so far, varicose veins? I don't understand. And it's a foam. And is it like plug things? Like that spray foam that's used for insulation? And so far, the results in primates look promising. His group has just finished accepting applications from researchers around the world to explore other ideas for contraceptive technology. You know, as we're heading into the next great sixth extinction, should we be looking at ending reproduction? I mean, to me, that doesn't seem like such a damn good idea now, does it? Because we are creating our own genocide here. Says this isn't the only long-term solution Bill and Melinda Gates are looking into. Last year, their foundation announced that they had also provided $6.7 million in funding to teach to a tech company called Microchips to develop a remote controlled contraceptive implant. Gotta love implants. The implant turns on and off the release of contraceptive hormones. I thought they already had something like that that went under the skin. It was like a slow release, but maybe this is because it's computer controlled. And it lasts up to 16 years. Holy crap. Essentially eliminating the need to take daily pills or to change the implants every few years. This device is expected to be on the market by 2018. It says the ability to turn the device on and off provides a certain convenience factor for those who are planning their family, said Robert Farah, president for Microchips, and where's he a researcher at? Yes, MIT. The chip, which measures 2 centimeters by 2 centimeters by 0.7 centimeters, works by delivering around 30 micrograms of birth control hormone levonorgestrel. No, levonorgestrel into the bloodstream every day via a small electrical charge, but it can be switched on and off at any time, allowing the user to control when they get pregnant. Well, how cool is that? Like robo pregnancy. You know, there was a story a few months ago, though, that had shown that these birth control hormones literally make the brain shrink. So had anyone known that? Back when they were flaunting the pill everywhere in the 70s and the 80s, I bet you they would have thought twice about it. Anyway, this implantable delivery technology is ready to go, and researchers are now working on making sure the system is secure. Yeah, so you can't get hacked. Someone across the room cannot reprogram your implant, says Farah. Then we have secure encryption. This prevents someone from trying to interpret or intervene in the communications. The Gates Foundation aren't just focused on women either. They are also donating money to develop a condom that actually feels good, as well as looking for ways to get male chemical contraceptives on the market. After 55 years of an industry dominated by a contraceptive pill, we're pretty excited that science may finally be on the verge of some much-needed options that allow women to take control of their contraceptive choices. Don't you love the way they word that? I mean, they're wording it like it's such a big thing to cut the population back and let's just get rid of any unwanted pregnancies because you know what? Don't worry about it. That child might have been Einstein that would have helped fix all the world's problems because they were so freaking smart, but we'll never know now, will we? Because we're just going to eliminate the majority of the pregnancies for 16 plus years or even on a permanent basis. Dumb Americans, take the pill. We looked at last week, we were checking out some of these new GMO insects. We looked at the GMO moth. We looked at the GMO mosquitoes, this freaking Oxitec company out of the UK that's creating all these things. They're flying around. We've also looked at insects being used as disease vectors. Well, check this out. I knew it. I had said it while we were doing the show, but I didn't have any evidence of it. So I did a little bit of searching and wow, it came out like right at the top of the search list. So it must be truth. GMO mosquito trial strains ties in Gates funded project. Yes, guys, guess what? And hopefully, I can get the story to load. How mysteriously this story isn't loading. Hold on. We're going to thwart these guys because I'm not putting up with this shit anymore. DNS probe not found. Here we go. This is actually out of 2010. Was about a year before I really started to pay attention in on a micro scale. But Oxitec has funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. GMO mosquito trial strains ties in Gates funded project. Says about a year ago, and this story is from November 16th of 2010, genetically modified mosquitoes were released into the wild. And they have been flying under the world's radar screen until last week. On November 11th, British company Oxitec announced that it carried out the world's first small indoor trial with transgenic Aedes aegypti mosquitoes in the Caribbean island of Grand Cayman in the fall of 2009, followed by a larger study there last summer. So they did it without telling anybody. The trials were designed to test whether such designer mosquitoes could successfully be used in the fight against wild mosquitoes that transmit diseases like dengue fever. The announcement made at a press briefing in London has taken aback opponents of GM mosquitoes and surprised many researchers in the field of genetic control of insect vectors. Notice how they even use vectors. Yes, insects are disease vectors. And wait till you see what's going on now. So some are questioning why the company stayed quiet for so long, calling it a strategic mistake that provides critics the genetic modification with fresh ammunition. Remember, I said the genie has been out of the bottle for a really long time, and there's been lots of genies let out of the bottle as the champagne bubbles were flowing. There's no stuffing these suckers back in. Quote, I don't think they did themselves a favor, says Kurt Noos, a medical entomologist at the University of Amsterdam. This could well trigger a backlash. Luke Elfie, a chief scientific officer at Oxitec, says he completely rejects the notion that there was anything secretive about the trial, which was well known within the island's population of 50,000, but just not picked up internationally. Scientists have long debated how and when to carry out the first test release of transgenic mosquitoes designed to fight human disease. Yes, fight human disease with mosquitoes, or create human disease with mosquitoes. Wink. A landmark study they imagined might trigger fierce resistance from opponents of genetic engineering. A stream of papers and reports has argued that a release of any genetically modified mosquito should be preceded by years of careful groundwork, including an exhaustive public debate to win the hearts and minds of the local population. But little of that has been done in the trial of the Cayman Islands because the government did not deem that it was necessary. What? Kind of like in New York State, good old Cuomo bent over and said, hey, let these genetically modified moths out right near all of the organic farms. I don't give a shit. And we didn't do any environmental studies. Just let them all loose. Let's see what happens. And I'm sure he got kickbacks somewhere along the way. He had to have. But that lack of public debate does not sit well with the collaborators in a big international project in which Oxitec is a key member to develop and test GM mosquitoes. The program, funded by a $19.7 million grant from who? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and led by Anthony James of the University of California, Irvine, has spent years preparing a study site in the Mexican state of Chiapas for cage studies and possible future release of another strain of Oxitec mosquitoes. Well, that's the first I heard that they were talking about doing it in Mexico as well. The work includes extensive dialogues with citizen groups, regulators, academics, and farmers. And the project, one of Gates' grand challenges in global health, would never, oh no, never ever release mosquitoes the way Oxitec has now done in the Grand Cayman. Oxitec received a $5 million grant from the Gates program, but the Grand Cayman trial is not a part of that, they say. As a private company, they can push their own agenda, says James. Even though this could possibly hurt the field as a whole, it is a difficult situation. And now here we are, like 5 years later, finding out that Oxitec's moths were released in New York State without any public comment, without really telling anyone, without any environmental study, and nobody says a word. So I don't know. I'm running out of breath here. It's hard to breathe. Let's see what else. Afley emphasizes that in designing the trial, Oxitec has worked with the Mosquitoes Research and Control Unit of the Cayman Islands, which is a British overseas territory, and the trial abided by the rules of the territory's new biosafety bill that has yet to become law. Although there were no town hall meetings or public debates, they sent information about the study to the local newspaper. They also posted a promotional video about the project on YouTube, but the clip does not mention that the mosquitoes are genetically modified. The World Health Organization is now drafting guidelines for the release of transgenic mosquitoes, a process that'll take 3 months or more, so I wonder if they ever did that. says Yenné Touré, a manager of innovative vector control interventions at the World Health Organization. He says that he knew that the trial in Grand Island, and that he is not aware of any wrongdoing. So interestingly enough, I mean, they're saying that Gates didn't have anything to do with this Grand Cayman release, but they did donate millions of dollars to the international project that is working on developing genetically modified mosquitoes to fight disease. Remember, good old Billy Gates is all about going after malaria in Africa. And so I'm sure that there's other stuff that we don't know about that's already happened. They're also going after overpopulation and fighting all these diseases. Billy Gates also dumped money into fighting Ebola. Check this out. This is a story that came out again on the 19th of June, 2015. And I have not seen anything about this. It says, remember Ebola, the Virginia Department of Health is currently monitoring 123 people for it. What? Just an FYI. Health officials in Virginia are currently monitoring 123 people for Ebola, up from 103 earlier last week. ABC 8 News is reporting that the majority of those being monitored reside in Northern Virginia. 7 cases are in Central Virginia, and this is just 123 people in just our one state. Hold on. In just one state. Remember when Ebola was all the rage? Now the media is asking if we're all ready for a deadly MERS outbreak. And notice how MERS, it was just ramping up and it spread then from South Korea to Taiwan. They're all worried about it in China. And now it just went bloop. It's gone. Oh, Thailand too as well. And now I've seen nothing in the news at all this week because it's all been about the Confederate flag, white supremacists, and how anyone who's a gun-toting American is just like ISIS. Over 1,000 schools have been shut down in South Korea. Yes, where 24 people as of last week had died from it, and it spread to other countries, including Thailand. So keep an eye on that one. It's just amazing how that now they've come out with all these experimental vaccines. We have Ebola raising its head again. And notice how it didn't make the news. It didn't make any news anywhere except for that one story. That's the only one that I found. Something else that came out talking about disease. Here's another one. We just had a kid. Now, we looked at that Paswan virus, which is this new deadly tick-borne disease that is hitting the Northeast, specifically in Connecticut. Sorry, I just had to cough. There was a story that just came out of RT. Actually, let me just find this. Where'd it go? That had talked about a 16-year-old kid that just died in Colorado from what? Yes, a flea bite, guys. Now, remember, we talked about using insects as disease vectors, Plum Island. All the research had gone into using fleas, ticks, and mosquitoes. Well, guess what? Here, check this one out.
There are rising concerns in Colorado this morning over the plague. Health officials this weekend confirmed that that disease killed a 16-year-old high school athlete. Taylor Gaze was a football quarterback and a starting baseball pitcher. He died this month, apparently, after a flea bite at his family's ranch. Our Dr. Holly Phillips is with us and joins us at the table with more on this. This is such a surprising story because when you think about the plague, you think about the Middle Ages. So how does this happen in 2015? What happened here?
Absolutely. Well, plague is a very, very serious illness. It's transmitted to humans through flea bites, most commonly fleas that live on rodents. So in the Middle Ages in Europe, millions of people died of the plague because their homes and workplaces were infested by rats that carried the fleas. Now it's very rare, especially in the U.S. There are only about 7 to 10 cases a year, but it still exists. Think of rodents in very rural areas, western states, southwest, ranches, farms, and that's likely what happened here.
But if you have that flea bite, is it nothing you can do if it's carrying this possibility of the plague?
Sure. The plague can be treated by antibiotics. Yeah. One of the challenges, though, here is that because it is so rare, it's often overlooked or not diagnosed at all. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, this young man likely had the most common form of the plague called bubonic plague. It causes lymph node swelling, flu-like symptoms. The boy had complained of fever, muscle aches, that sort of thing. And no one ever thought plague because it is so rare. If antibiotics, though, are started within 24 hours of symptoms, you can survive it.
24 hours of symptoms. Like, anybody who's got muscle aches and feels kind of flu-ish, who's going to be thinking plague? And, I mean, you get one little bug bite and you're going to think you're dying of bubonic plague, and obviously they didn't. And what's so interesting about this is just like now, this killer Passuan tick virus is loose, and then don't forget we also have Lyme disease loose all up in the northeastern woods. This is taking place in Colorado up in the wilderness areas. And like I said before, again, don't think that this is accident, because these are some of the best places. If you wanted to get out of Dodge and hide, you're going to go run into the mountains or the woods. But I don't think that they're planning on letting you stay there for very long. If you get bitten by any of these infected disease vector bugs, well, guess what? You're dead.
Rodent flea is different from dog fleas.
Yes, so our normal household pets do not carry the fleas that contain the plague at all. But people who hunt or hike, spend time in rural areas where the plague might be endemic, they should let people know. And officials in Larimer County there in Colorado want anyone with symptoms to call right away.
Bye.
There you go. Anyone in wilderness areas, you're at risk. And I really think that there is more to this than what meets the eye, because this absolutely here. Wait, we got to play this other one, too. I know we've heard this one before, but just listen to this. This is this new Passuan in the Northeast. No treatment or cure.
So what do people do if they get it?
Spending time outdoors, beware. Doctors warn about the Powassan virus, a rare tick-borne illness, but one that could be serious and has no treatment or cure.
So, you know, here's the message. The only place you're safe is in your home, not in the woods, not getting out of Dodge, in cities. Let's stay out of the country, because there's all these killer viruses now that are living in tiny, tiny little insects that can bite you or get up inside your clothes.
Doctor just has to support you during that acute illness and hope that you survive.
The doctor, there's no treatment, no cure. The doctor just has to support you during that acute illness and hope that you survive.
Dr. Daniel Cameron, president of the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society, says if bitten by an infected tick, you can get the virus within a matter of minutes. And while the symptoms are similar to Lyme disease, they are more severe.
You can get seizures, high fever, stiff neck. It comes on so suddenly.
It comes on so suddenly and within minutes, and there's no treatment. I mean, how frightening is this? Yet we have all of these billionaires spending millions of dollars to cure malaria in Africa. Yet we have this in our own backyard, and no one seems to think that this is an issue. All right, let's hop to one more story. This is out of RT with that the woman that used to have the Saturday Night Live music, but it was about Plum Island moving to Kansas. We've talked about this so many times, and the bio-warfare program that supposedly is no longer. We got to move it forward, though, because I still don't like her new music. Here we go.
The Department of Homeland Security just broke ground on a new facility that sounds like it should be the location for a sci-fi movie. It's called the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, and it's due to be fully operational by 2022. And once it's fully operational, it could be very, very dangerous. You see, in 1954, the U.S. Agriculture Department established an animal disease research center on Plum Island so that they could study foot and mouth and other deadly animal diseases. They chose Plum Island because it sits off the far eastern end of Long Island, New York, in the Atlantic Ocean, where the prevailing winds blow toward the ocean. So if foot and mouth disease or any other airborne danger accidentally escaped from the lab, it would just blow over the ocean where it would cause no harm. foot and mouth went airborne in the UK in 2001, and more than 6 million animals had to be slaughtered. That's about when Homeland took over the Plum Island lab, because biological threats had just gotten really real. So a remote island for the lab was a wise choice, especially as the lab also now works with zoonotic pathogens that can jump from animals to people.
Bing, bing, you know, we talked about that too, like how all of a sudden these diseases, you know, we're looking at the bird flu outbreak, and what happened to that too? That just all disappeared, but they were talking about, you know, things jumping from dogs to humans and from birds to humans, oh my God. And here now they're working with these on Plum Island or in their labs. Notice also that it says that the military, was it, took over Plum Island in 2001. How interesting is that as well?
The last thing Homeland would need would be for one of those microbes to escape the lab on Plum Island, as it could cause a massive epidemic with catastrophic human casualties. Which is why it is so mind-boggling, scary, and dangerous that they just broke ground on the new National Bio and Agro Defense Facility. Because that facility is located on the Kansas State University campus in Manhattan, Kansas. And that facility is where Homeland is moving the Plum Island lab. That puts it smack in the middle of cattle country, which means millions of animals will be living right around these deadly airborne pathogens. It also puts the lab smack in the middle of tornado country.
See, I think she must have heard one of my episodes, because those are the very points that we brought up way back when we first talked about this. And you know, there's another thing. Where the hell's all the anthrax that was shipped all over the place? Remember how big that story was? And that just freaking disappeared. Must not have been approved by the Ministry of Truth. All right, very last thing. Talking about the Ministry of Truth, Pentagon rewrites law of war, declaring belligerent journalists as legitimate targets. Yes, the Pentagon has released a book of instructions on the law of war detailing acceptable ways of killing the enemy. The manual also states that journalists can be labeled, quote, unprivileged belligerents, an obscure term that replaced enemy combatant. In the 1176-page Department of Defense Law War Manual, explains that shooting, exploding, bombing, stabbing, or cutting the enemy, journalists included, are acceptable ways of getting the job done, but the use of poison or asphyxiating gases are not allowed. Surprise attacks and killing retreating troops have also been given the green light, so shoot them in the back. But the lengthy manual doesn't only talk about protocol for those on the front line. It also has an extensive section on journalists, including the fact that they can be labeled as terrorists. Guys, we've been waiting for that one forever as part of the NDAA. Now we have the Ministry of Truth, including Google and this algorithm, and anyone who is not toeing the line, like we say, is gonna be a terrorist. There are terrorists under every freaking bed, and I guess that behind every pen, the truth will not set you free. It'll get you shot in the back or blown up or thrown in jail. All right, guys, that is about it for today. Make sure you stick around. It's Thursday. Lonnie Clark is up next, sitting in for Mr. Kevin Blanche for Post Ignorance. We have the Diocelli Effect up live at 6 p.m. Eastern. Drew, double Cross Radio with Chuck at 10 and Anti-Media with SM Gibson at 11. All right, guys, everyone have an awesome Thursday, and we will catch up with you tomorrow. Everyone take care.